breath work brought me back home, gave me a minute to be still and open up this portal to Christ, feeling that connection, like feeling the power that, like the Holy Spirit, right? That connection in me and knowing like, ooh, you're not just outside of me, you're in me.
Hey, yo, busy brain. Welcome to my podcast. I am Camden Hainsworth, ADHD advocate, coach, and member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Understanding my own ADHD diagnosis completely changed the course of my life for the better. Now it is my mission and joy to provide you with the tools to do the same. Join me weekly. Let's create real results that work with your neurodivergence and reflect a confident life of self-acceptance, growth, and satisfaction. Welcome to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. Let's get growing. Hello, you made it. I'm so happy that you're here. My brain is busy and my heart is full. Today's podcast interview is titled Learning to Breathe, an interview with Stacy Lucky. Stacy Lucky is a breathwork coach. She and I met a couple years ago within the ADHD community, and I asked her to come onto this podcast after I experienced a couple of her breathwork sessions. I remember one in particular, and you'll hear me talk about this in the interview. I told her, I swear, like you just took me to breathwork church. It was a very, very enriching, spiritual, and beautiful experience to go through breathwork. I have not only benefited from Stacy's breathwork coaching, but also her mindset coaching. She is a lovely person. And the most important thing about her being on this podcast is her story, how she has gotten to where we are now and where she is now, how she has been able to insert herself into her clients' lives in such a powerful way is because she has put in the work herself. She did not have an easy childhood, did not have an easy adolescence and young adulthood, and yet she has found her way. She has found her self-acceptance, and she has found healing and progress and growth all along the way. I am so, so grateful for Stacy being on this podcast. Welcome to the Busy Brain Saint, Stacy.
Thank you for having me, Camden. I'm so excited. I'm like all the things. I'm nervous. You know, like I'm also an anxious ADHDer. We'll put that out there. So I feel a lot of anxiety in the body, usually is my typical state. So I can definitely say breathwork has helped with that 150%. But yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Of course. And, you know, all of the nerves, bring all of them. We're here for it. We're here to process them through talking and movement and, yes, and everything that goes with that. When I originally had this podcast in mind, I had a variety of different questions I was going to ask Stacy, but she very naturally told her life story of progress, of her journey, of her traumas, of her overcoming, her healing, and integrated all of those questions perfectly and naturally. So I'm literally just going to turn over the rest of this episode to the conversation that we had. There will be a little bit of back and forth, a little bit of questions and answers, and mainly you're going to hear a very inspirational, powerful, and personable person tell their story of faith, progress, growth, healing, trauma, and everything in between. So enjoy the storytelling, learn from it, and grow from it.
All right. Where to start? I mean, I'll try and sum everything up, but I would say if we go all the way back, my mom passed when I was really young and kind of lived this life in survival mode. So I was pretty much a couch hopper until I graduated high school and then met a boy that, you know, kind of started to fill some of those needs, those gaps for companionship, love, where I felt like I was being taken care of. It ended up being a pretty volatile relationship. So I was a single mom, and probably by, I don't know, the age 19, 20, I had lived a life, and was pretty much in this heightened state, the sympathetic state of fight or flight. A lot of anxiety, a lot of pain, a lot of trauma, but I was a mom. So I had to like keep doing life, keep going. And I would say probably around that time is when my relationship with God grew my experience with Christianity, well, let me back up a little. So when my mom passed, I stayed with my grandma for a minute until I became too rowdy for her, but she was Catholic. And then as I started staying with different friends and different family homes, majority were Christian. Mm-hmm. So I experienced Christianity in a vast, many, many forms of Christianity, from evangelism to, you know, I was feeding homeless on the street, preaching and like doing just, you know, all kinds of things, to Baptist churches where like you didn't speak, you didn't say much, you just kind of sat there. So I've experienced it a lot in the religious aspect. But when I found myself at 20 years old, single mom, a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, a lot of just being alone, that is when I really grew my relationship, where it wasn't so much a religion. It was like, I need you. Like, I need something bigger than myself because I am lost. I don't know what to do. And my faith grew. I also was a vocalist. And this is important because that really saved me in high school. My teachers saw that talent in me very early, and so gave me a lot of opportunities. And so when I, again, back to my 20s, I used my voice a lot as worship and connection. And again, it saved me. So fast forward to 23, I met my now husband, love of my life. And I say this cautiously, but I'm going to say it as my 23-year-old self. He saved me. And so my daughter, myself, you know, we got married. He took her in as his own. And that survival mode was able to just rest a little bit. And I was able to find safety and dependency in him. And my relationship, my spiritual relationship, was there, but it was a little muted. It was like, okay, well, I don't need to be on my knees every night praying and singing and worshiping and all the things, because like life is good. Like I'm married to a man with a job, like all the things, right? Like, you know, when you come from a space of paycheck to paycheck to like security, totally, and a home, you know, it's just like, whoa, this is awesome, right? Yeah. But I didn't realize the trauma. That in survival mode, you don't really like focus on the trauma. You don't focus on
There's no
on
time
all the,
for it.
There's no time.
There's no space
right?
for it. Yeah.
Right. You're living, you're surviving.
Yeah.
So when I got married, I worked for about a year, and then we had our second daughter, Faith. And I became a stay-at-home mom, like all, you know, all the dreams, all the things I got to do. But I was miserable. Mm-hmm. I was like, internally, the anxiety, social anxiety. I couldn't do like PTO stuff. I couldn't, like, I was afraid to drop the girls off at school by myself. Like, it was almost debilitating anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
It was really bad. Yeah. And I didn't understand it. I just, you know, kind of was like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I had all the questions, all the things. And my husband's super supportive. He's like, just do whatever you need, like, figure it out. Like, and I'm thinking, well, maybe it's because, you know, my dreams of becoming a singer were gone. And, you know, all my dreams, I didn't really know, right? I didn't have an answer. I just knew I felt really bad.
Yeah.
Like that's the only word that I know for it. And so anyway, went on my 30s and I went back to school late in life. So I was a hairdresser when I met my husband, and then massage therapist.
Okay.
So I was like in that spa, you know, mm-hmm. Field, and the recession that hit. Uh-huh. So all my clients, they just couldn't afford to do, you know, massages and all that kind of stuff. So I went back to school, got my degree in education, okay, and loved it when I was in the special ed room with the, you know, the kids with emotional disabilities. And, you know, I'd walk in and they're like throwing chairs at me or they're cussing at me. And I'm like, what's going on, man? Like, you know, it just felt really good to be in that space.
Yeah.
Until I went through student teaching. And so all of the stuff, all the trauma, all the triggers, all of that stuff started coming to the surface as I was working with my mentor teacher. I didn't know how to communicate with her. I didn't know how to have like go to staff meetings and communicate. I didn't like know how to ask questions. I remember I was at a point where my nervous system was so out of whack. And again, I'm using terms that I didn't know when I was 30, where I couldn't teach a first grade math lesson. Like my brain was so fried that I was just standing up there like paralyzed and panicked. And of course, reiterating all the, you know, those beliefs, like I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, you know, all the things.
Sure.
So I froze, I panicked. I was like, I can't do this. I can't teach. I can't, you know, so I went through my program. I graduated, but I was just so disappointed. I let my husband down. I let the kids down. I felt like I let everybody down because my stuff, right? I'm like, I've been dealing with stuff and like, I can't contribute to the household. I can't do all the things. I just lay in bed and cry and just a lot of worthiness wounds and all the things.
So like you felt like you couldn't let the stuff you'd been through be real in your newer life. And your, is that?
That's a really great question. I actually didn't know it was stuff that needed to come. It was just like, I'm good now, right? I'm married with somebody who loves me, who's not going to abandon me, and everything's okay, right? What do we need to talk about? And so I didn't realize that these were just different ways that that old stuff was showing up.
Okay.
Yeah. So
which makes sense. I mean, honestly, I feel like the pandemic is actually what helped people like have to sit with themselves and learn about that. I don't know if that's where you're coming in your story, but there's so many people that we would, you know, that aren't in psychology, aren't therapists, aren't in that field per se, who finally had to take a good old look at themselves and think, oh my goodness, what am I carrying? So I have compassion and totally understand that even, you know, where you were, you didn't see what you had. What you were carrying, rather.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that. So before the pandemic, was 10 years earlier when I did have an opportunity to sit. And so again, feeling a lot of guilt that I had just went to school. I had the student loan to pay off. I had, you know, told my husband, I'm going to contribute. I'm going to do all the things. I'm going to be a working mom and wife and all the, deal. And I couldn't, I mean, I would literally sit in my closet and just weep before going to finish up my student teaching. So one of the paras that I worked with was a surrogate for a family. And she's like, well, you know, you can do surrogacy and get paid about the same. And like, I just laughed it off. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding, right? Like, I'm not going to like be a surrogate, or somebody's really going to pay me to carry their babies. Like, I just thought that was the weirdest thing. And she's like, yeah, here, go. Here's the link. Go fill out the application and just see what happens. And I filled out the application and I was like, okay. And I, again, didn't know I had ADHD either at this time, but looking back, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm really impulsive and I just do things. And I just thought that was part of my charm. and it is, I mean, I'll still claim that. But so this was just another thing, right? That I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. I'll just try it. I'll do it and see what happens. And of course my husband's like, you do not have to do this. Like, you do not have to be a surrogate. Are you serious? And I was like, well, I can't do anything else. You don't have to be smart to carry a baby. So, cause I was really like, like I just, you know, I don't have to show up in the world to carry a baby. I can just sit here and we get a paycheck. So let's do it. And that was really how that started. But again, there was a lot of prayer in that. I was like, okay, Lord, you know, I do some wacky things. So I'm going to need you to close the door if this is not meant for me. Like, if this isn't what you want, because I'm all in, I don't know what else to do at this point.
Wow.
And sure enough, I just kept going through the process, going through the interview process, all the things. And there were a lot of moments where I had to go through like a 3-hour psych test with the lady on Skype. Remember Skype back in the day before Zoom was a thing? And and it was like, she could have definitely put the pause on it, because there were moments that, you know, I was like, I'm looking back, I'm like, I can't believe they said yes to me. But they did. And then I met my family online. They were in Belgium and another Skype. Yeah. They didn't speak any English, and they came to Skype. I came to Skype and we just looked each other in the eyes and we just knew, like, yes, I want to be part of your journey. I want to be part of your family. Like, let's do this. So I won't go into that because that's a whole nother, like,
yeah, different episode, surrogacy. Man.
Yeah, totally. But it did.
That's amazing.
To your point, gave me time to sit down, gave me time to like relax and to process like all the stuff, even the body stuff. I discovered during surrogacies that I had an autoimmune disease, that my hormone imbalances were off, and just different things that that pregnancy kind of shed some light on. I did it twice for the same family. They wanted to do a sibling journey. So, and it was such a beautiful experience that I was like, okay, I'll do it again. So I had a good 2.5-3 years, the whole process from start to finish, of just sitting, just being still, just kind of like, wow, no expectations, you know, of me. There was no triggers, no fears. It was just, you know, me hanging out with Wendy Williams back in the day and, awesome, and cooking these
yeah,
babies,
of course.
You know, and I gained family out of them. But wow, they're my family now. We see them. I see them all the time. We actually just got back from Europe visiting with them and meeting all their extended family. So it was a really beautiful gift that I was given. Even though people are like, oh my gosh, that's great that you did that. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like there was some healing taking place during that time.
Wow. What a beautiful perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, as an adoptive mom, which is definitely not the same as surrogacy, but I feel like I've gained family through an open adoption in really important and beautiful and significant ways. So on a personal note, you know, what you're saying really resonates, and it's not anything that I necessarily set out to be, as you know, it came to me in a similar way. So I just hear like God's journey for you in the middle of the chaos, kind of, and how maybe God was building out healing, right?
Yeah.
from the ashes, building something new up, you know, beautiful again. So that's really, really cool.
I love where this is going. We're going to take a quick break and come right back.
Hi, it's Camden. Maybe you and I haven't met face to face yet, but I hope that happens soon. I take a small handful of one-on-one clients as I work part-time as a mom of four because I love this work so much. I do also run a group program, which is taking a wait list right now for our next session. But in the meantime, if you are looking for a very intensive and honest and supportive way to get on top of your individualized ADHD, my one-on-one coaching services are probably perfect for you. Not only do we meet 12 times within 4 or 5 months together, but I am also a coach in your back pocket because I offer the Marco Polo app. So we have intensive 55-minute sessions to dig deep into your ADHD, into your life, into your challenges, emotions that you just don't quite understand. And then throughout the week, as you're starting to implement the strategies we talk about, as you're starting to be more reflective, as you're listening to podcasts or just going along your daily life, things are going to come to you and you're going to want to share them with somebody who actually understands your progress, your brain, ADHD, and all of its intricacies. And that's where I come in on the app. So this is a full-fledged one-on-one support up the wazoo type of coaching. And I honestly cannot wait to meet you. I hope that you are a great fit. You can schedule your consultation at CamdenADHDCoaching.com. I hope to see you so soon. So, so you're there and you're having time to notice your body, inside and outside. Mm-hmm. When does ADHD come into that picture?
Yeah. So, not for another 10 years.
Wow.
This was like my early 30s. And, after the surrogacies, I went through some therapy. I had refused to do talk therapy. Again, not understanding anything about the body and stored trauma. I didn't know, but intuitively I was like, I am not sitting down with another counselor or another therapist to talk about my problems. I can do this with a girlfriend. Like I need something else that's like, that's going to get into the brain and do something. And I didn't really know what I was asking for.
Okay.
My natural path, the gal that discovered my autoimmune disease, and my constant desire for weight loss, Again, looking back on it, I'm like, oh my gosh. I was in there all the time. I'm like, well, what are we going to do? What program do you have? Da, 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 all these, like, just this obsession. And she finally sat down with me. She's like, I think you need to see a therapist. And God bless her for it,
Wow.
right? And she's
Yeah.
like, I have a girlfriend that does EMDR. So
Oh,
it's not
cool.
just talk therapy, but, you know, we're going to, she tried to
Reprogram a little
explain it
bit.
to me. Yeah, there's a little
Yeah.
reprogram with the brain and all the things. And I was like, okay, well, I'm willing to try that because, you know, the talking's
Well, it's not a
not going to
bad
do it.
route.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So again, we're still young, didn't have a lot of money. Insurance didn't cover a lot. So I had like a set of five sessions and I was like, you're going to fix me in five sessions and I'm out of here.
Bless
Right.
your heart.
That's, yes. Yes. But that was the beginning. And I don't know if any of you know how EMDR works, but you start usually from your earliest trauma to like middle and then to like your present. So we were able in those five sessions to get to the abuse when I was a single mom. At the time, I wasn't even able to say this man's name out loud.
Wow.
Like it was, and I just thought, oh, you know, it's fine. Like he was, you know, he was awful and that's just that. But I wasn't able to even talk about any of it. And so we got through that phase, and it woke up a little bit inside me, right? Like there was this healing that was taking place, even with my daughter. I didn't realize, my oldest daughter, that there was some bitterness and some,
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
like things that I was going through that I didn't even know. So there was some healing there. But that was it. Then my five sessions were up. Life had to go on. And so I just kind of kept working on like the other stuff, the health
Sure.
stuff and all the things. And focusing on my kids, you know, as a mom and all the things. And my youngest is, she plays competitive soccer. So it's like, what do we need to do to get you to the next level? Do all the things. And her coach was noticing some ADHD in her and said, hey, you know, she's going off to college in a couple of years. And if you take her in, get her tested, and she's got the paperwork, then she can get supported in college. So I think you need to go do that. And I
What
was
an
like,
intuitive, what an amazing coach. What on earth? I'm so impressed by them right
Yeah.
now.
So good,
Wow.
right? And I was like, okay, great. Sounds good. So I take Faith in. She gets the testing. I'm talking to the doctor and I'm telling her all the things about Faith. And she's like, okay, great. You know, we'll get her testing started. And she's like, so mom, when were you diagnosed? And I was like, excuse me? What?
How dare you?
You're right. I'm like, what? And I actually, so I did. I said, you know, I was kind of taken back. And I kid you not, I actually started crying, which I don't even know where that came from. But I was like, I knew that there was something, right? Like, I'm 39 at this point, almost 40.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a thing for adults. Like, I've never been diagnosed. She's like, oh, well, let's test you too. Like, it was no big deal. Like, she just made it
Wow.
so accessible for me to like go through the process that I'm like, okay, there was so much permissioning in that moment.
Oh my
So,
goodness.
yeah. So
I
we
love
both
that
got
doctor.
diagnosed.
Look at all these people. Like, I know you had to go through everything, but how amazing. To me, I'm also like, be an advocate. This is, I mean, advocates in your life have I've heard them through this whole process as well, which is really inspiring. Sometimes I think we're like a little bit hesitant to share, but it can change people's lives, you know. Trust in your gut, trust in your radar a little bit. That's amazing. It's reminding me of, oh my gosh, there's this Brady Bunch episode where she took her kid in to get their tonsils removed, and then they looked in the mom's mouth and they're like, "We're getting your ears are coming out too." I was like, I don't even know where that came from. That was my ADHD right there. But
No.
yeah,
Well, I
just
love it. Like what you just said is reminds me of like sometimes when we're not able to take care of ourselves, and we
yeah.
can bring this even back into faith. You know, when I look back on my journey, like how God had his hand in all of these moments when I didn't know that he was there. When I wasn't able to take care of myself, there were people taking care
Yeah.
of me, just like, you know, people were there to take care of her tonsils, you know, because she was probably miserable, but she's like, I got these kids to take care of. Who's going to take care of
Real.
me?
Yeah, I think so. Oh my gosh. Okay. So then that's, was that your official diagnosis, or did you go to a different doctor and pursue it further? Or?
Nope, that was my official. I went through all the process with her, and And I just felt so connected. You know, she was just amazing. And it was a tough journey for me. None of the medication, I can't take any of the medication for, I get migraines. So I don't know if that's because of my autoimmune condition. I don't know what it is, but it sucks because I remember, like, you know, I was on Adderall first, and it was like this light bulb moment. Damn. And I remember looking at my husband and I was like, is this what you feel like? Is this what neurotypicals feel like? This is amazing. Like, I'm doing the dishes, I'm cleaning the house, I'm not even thinking about all the other stuff I have to do. I'm just doing life.
Yeah.
Like, is this what it's like? This is really cool. So and then as on the come down, I get migraines for about 72 hours. Like, there's nothing I can do, take, or anything to make them go away. So,
No, side effects are real. I mean, I am not on ADHD medication for the same reason. The side effects just weren't balancing out. I'm really grateful that for a lot of people, there aren't severe enough side effects that it does help for that exact reason. I feel the same way. But I'm really excited to hear off medication, you know, we'll get there, but how you've still been able to manage and what life looks like, because there are so many other things that we can do.
There are. Yes. And it's still a struggle, you know.
Of course.
It would be easier, of course, if I could just get up every morning, take my pill and like do, I mean, that would just be amazing. But, so let me see, that was probably around COVID.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went to back to school again for life coach training. So Faith didn't want to go back to school. At that time I was subbing. So that's, by the way, that's what I ended up doing, was subbing all the way through the girls' high school. So I started off in elementary, junior high, high school, and that was awesome. Like, it just
kind of fulfilled that need that you weren't feeling fulfilled with in motherhood alone.
Yeah. And just, and like, you're so right. And that desire to want to contribute, right? Mm-hmm. To give back somehow. And I thought at the time it was like monetarily, I just want to give back, you know, and help my husband and all the things. But subbing was awesome. Anybody who's considering it, it's great. You don't have to do the lesson plans. You don't have to do anything. You just get to show up and have fun with the kids. It's great. I felt
I want to like interject here too, because there are a lot of moms that listen to this podcast and a lot of moms that value being a stay-at-home mom or motherhood in general.
Mm.
And I just want to highlight that if you have an ADHD brain, kind of like your story, I was understimulated.
Yeah.
As a stay-at-home mom without any other like consistent side things.
Yep.
And so I always thought that my understimulation, like my boredom, meant that I didn't care about being a mom.
Yeah.
But what I'm hearing you say, you've said it was great, it was awesome, I did, you know, what actually happens when you feel stimulated, specifically with ADHD, you start to enjoy your motherhood even more. You feel like you can connect with your kids. You can connect with yourself so much more. And so I'm just going to put that in there that I love that you said that previously. And here we are on this other side where you're saying, and it worked. Substitute teaching was consistent enough to, you know, fulfill that need and that desire and that itch. And then it led you to your next thing.
The subbing too. It also gave me permission to rest, because you don't have to take a job, you know, if you don't want to.
That's cool.
So self-advocacy there. I was like,
flexibility.
I need to rest today. So it was great. So went and got, actually I discovered life coaching through, my weight loss journey. Cause again, I was like obsessed with weight loss. Like I went on my first diet when I was 14. So that's been a thread through my life. And I met Corinne. I don't know if you, are familiar with Corinne at all, but
Crabtree?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Okay. So she is just like, you know, this no nonsense Tennessee accent, you know, and she's just like telling you all the things. And I knew, like, I had been a weight loss coach, a macro coach. I was an HCG coach. Like, I have done everything. Yeah.
How
and so I'm like, there is, yeah, I'm like, there's nothing that anybody can tell me about weight loss that, you know, I didn't already know. And here comes Corinne with just like all the things. And I was like, oh, I want to know more. Tell me more. Well, fast forward, I get into the program and I discover she's a life coach. She's a mindset coach. And I was like, oh, that's what she's been doing. She's been working on my brain. And so anyway, I just remember she had a couple of emails come through looking to hire coaches. And every time that email came through, I would tell my husband, I'm like, I could do this. Like I could coach this. This could be my jam, right? Like, cool. Ooh, I think I could do it. And the second email came through. And of course I wasn't coaching, but I was like, if I was, I could apply for this job. Mm-hmm. And so I just went and I prayed about it. And I'm like, okay, I don't know how I'm going to pay for it, but I really want to do this. And sure enough, the funds were available and I went to school, got my training and, again, grew, healed in a different way. Again, yeah. This was just another part of my journey that, we worked on my anxiety mostly is what came up. And as a mindset coach, it gave me a lot of power where I was like victim to my anxiety. You know, if I woke up and I was feeling anxious and having a bad day, I'm like, well, I guess I'm just not going to do life today. And that's okay. You know, there was compassion there. I was learning how to be compassionate, but I was still kind of just saying, oh, well, and learning the model, I ended up putting anxiety in the fact line and then deciding what I wanted to And then deciding like, well, okay, it's here. So what are we going to think about it instead of having it in the feeling line? That changed my life. That's awesome. One simple shift, right?
I believe it. Yeah. Cause it's something you could anticipate. It was something that was consistent every single day. Like you're just going to have to learn how to work with this. Yes. Right.
Yeah.
I love that. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then I thought I wanted to become an anxiety coach. So I started building out my business and in great ADHD fashion and all the things, I just went right in and I was like, I'm going to do a membership and I'm going to blow all the things. Right.
Uh-huh.
It was like a fire hose. And 6 months in, I was like, yeah, no, I am exhausted. Luckily I had been hired on as a coach already in another program. And so I had an out. I was like, okay, I don't want to do this right now. And that felt really good to me to just let that go and then really focus on this other program that I was working in. And it just gave me time to breathe. And I just got to show up and coach. And then I got hired on with Kristen. And again, I just got to show up and coach. And it was just awesome. So I wasn't worried about the business side and the admin side and all the things.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I was doing what I loved. We became empty nesters. We're in a new space, all the things, new season of life. And how I told
across the country.
We moved across the country. Yes, from the hot to the cold. And I told my husband, I'm like, okay, I really want to heal because there's still this desire to own my own business. Even though I'm not like doing it, but the desire's there. I feel it.
Yeah.
But I'm scared like to talk to people and not in a, like I'm nervous kind of way, in a way that like my throat clenched up. My mouth got so dry that I couldn't speak, like just paralyzed. And so I'm like, I know that all the work I've done, there's still more to be done. And I don't know what it is, but I got to figure it out. So
yeah, we got to do it. Yeah.
We got to figure it out.
Go through it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to hop in real fast here. I want to share a disclaimer regarding the upcoming segment with Stacy, where she's going to discuss her experience with microdosing and plant medicine. These practices are legal in some parts of the world, but illegal in others. And before considering any similar practices, please research and understand the legal implications as well as the health implications in your own country or region. From an LDS perspective, I invite you to hear Stacy's story as her own journey, just as your own agency is yours. Publishing this part of Stacy's journey on my podcast is meant to provide context to her story, not as a recommendation for managing ADHD or any other condition. It's important to approach these topics with caution and seek guidance from trusted sources in alignment with your beliefs, values, and health. Thanks.
Backing up to I can't take traditional ADHD medicine. I was on a forum and I was just sharing this like, hey, I've tried all these different medications, these side effects. Anybody have any suggestions? And this sweet lady from Canada replied and she said, two words for you, microdosing. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
What is that? Like, I didn't know anything about microdosing or anything. So anyway, went down a rabbit hole, discovered psilocybin, but I didn't know how to get it. And I just thought, oh, this is cool. All the research I was reading, I'm like, well, maybe I can do that. So it wasn't until I moved to Maryland that I found somebody who was familiar with the plant medicine. And I had told her, I'm like, well, somebody told me to take it for my ADHD. And I also have some anxiety. And then I just went, whoa, and all the things came out. And she's like, ah, okay. She's like, this could be really good for you on all kinds of levels. And I ended up doing a full journey instead of just microdosing. Did like the full macro dose. And she told me before we started, she's like, it's like 10 years of therapy in 4 hours. And I didn't believe her. It was like 10 years of therapy in 4 hours. But that just opened up everything, like anger. I was mad at my mom. My 5-year-old self was mad at my mom. Like, I didn't even know that. I was angry with her for leaving and not taking care of herself and all of these things that were coming up. And that started because the facilitator was talking too much and I was getting annoyed. And I'm like,
Because of your ADHD.
well, it was for something
Maybe.
because I was like, why am I so annoyed? I just wish she would shut up. But I didn't have the self-advocacy to ask her to stop talking either. So I was just sitting there like, okay, she's asking me all these questions and I don't feel like answering them. And then I was like, well, why are you angry, Stacey? What is going on? And then it just led down this path to like, well, I can't speak for myself. I don't, how to advocate for myself. I'm mad at my mom. What? So that came up. Just so much stuff came up. And there was a lot of release in the body, like a lot of the shedding and the crying and like moving energy and all the things. That was pretty awesome. And so I was like, okay, I want more of this kind of like energy stuff. Like, I want to feel all that. So I joined another program. I was like, this was my year. So yes, I joined another program. How many of us have joined like 1,000 programs? But I joined another program specifically knowing that the coach in this program was a trigger for me. I did it on purpose. So I wanted to
Interesting.
be triggered in a safe, I knew she was safe, but I also knew that she, like her directness, being a strong Black woman, all of these things that I had dealt with, that I'm mixed. So I was like, never Black enough for the Black kids, never white enough for the white kids, all those things. And so, and typically growing up, it was the white families. They were the ones that took me in. So I've always, it's just been easier for me. So when it comes to like strong Black women, I'm like, so I'm like, okay, you're the coach for me. Let's go. Ooh, all the things. And I just remember showing up to the calls and she just let me hide in the back, the group and all the other women were talking and sharing. And every now and then she'd be like, Stacey, you're going to come off mute and talk. And I'm like, and I would just say, hey, and I mean, panic, like my chest, I just saying hi, like just being there. So she's like, okay, we had week two. I'm in the program. Homework was breath work. And I was like, okay, let me do some breath work. I don't know what this is, but I'm gonna do the homework because I'm committed. And I turn on the breath work YouTube video or whatever. And within like 2 minutes, I am crying. Jesus is holding my inner child. I'm seeing colors. I'm like, what is this? What is happening? I had no idea what was happening. It was so beautiful, but it reminded me of that psilocybin journey, which I was like, I don't necessarily want to do that often because the integration is tough too with the plant medicine. So I was like, I can get this with breath work. What? And I mean, of course, long story short, I stalked this woman. I wanted to know all the things. Come to find out, she was a trainer for breath work. And so I joined the program immediately. Like I knew, well, she had a webinar and I was like, let me join the webinar. I want to do the webinar. And I knew we know what webinars are, right? They're selling you something. And I knew like every day I went to this webinar, I was like, I don't care. I know she's
I'm
selling
gonna be
something.
sold. I'm gonna give her my
I'm
money, but
in.
I just
Yes.
want 50
Oh my God.
minutes to get me there.
Yes, totally. And I just remember the third day, I was like, I'm doing this. And I had called, we were connected with e-sisters from this group that I had joined. We had like accountability partners. And I had texted her and I was like, I really want to join this program. And I'm like, talk me off the ledge. And I go, well, you don't have to talk me off the ledge because I'm already going to do it. But I just wanted to tell you that I'm thinking of not doing it, but I'm going to do it. Like, it's so funny, like listening back to it. And I said, and I don't know how I'm going to pay for it, but I believe it's mine that I'm supposed to do it. And then the next day, they did like this wheel spinny thing in the Facebook group. So I won like $1,000 off the program.
The heck?
And I just knew
It
this
was just gonna work
program.
out.
Yeah, it was gonna work out. It
Yeah.
was for me.
I
So,
know that. I can resonate with that personally. Like, yeah, that's so cool.
When
And
you know, you
the
know.
timing seems pretty on par for you too.
Yeah, it did. And what I loved about the program is they were so, or are so careful to make sure that we embody the work, that it's not just like some, you know, weekend course that we take. There's probably 10 different live classes with different instructors all week. We have to go through, you know, 60 hours of training, all the things, but they really
Yeah.
want to make sure that we embody the work. And of course, during that embodiment process came a lot of healing.
Yeah.
Breath work for me brought me home, brought me back home to myself. When I was 24 and met my husband and got married and relied on him and kind of just like was finding my way, I was like, yeah, well, what's up, Lord? You know, I see you, all the things, but I didn't rely on him. I wasn't on my knees. I was just, you know, not because I didn't have faith. It wasn't like I was okay. You know, I didn't have any problems, in air quotes. And so breath work brought me back home, gave me a minute to settle, to like just be still, and open up this portal of connection to
Wow.
Christ. And my earlier stages, it's really cool to see the evolution of my breathwork journey. When I first started, it was a lot of just hearing his voice, like, can I just hold you for a little bit longer? Can you just be here with me for just a little bit longer? And just nourishing that inner child, that 5-year-old, that 13-year-old, that 18-year-old, you know, and just really going through the stages of healing and being held.
Wow.
Being able to just cry and also feeling that connection, like feeling the power that, like the Holy Spirit, right? That connection in me and knowing, like, ooh, you're not just outside of me, you're in me. Like,
Yeah.
I get to feel all that, I get to receive all that, and then I get to give all of that. Whoo, that's cool. You know, and so yeah, it's just been this really cool transformation and journey of like holding me, to empowering me, to walking with me, and it's just really neat.
I love that it started out with holding you. Of all the things that you could have learned, you just needed to be held. Of everything that you could have learned, you needed to be held in the arms of God. And what speaks to me there is I served a mission for my church, and a lot of people listening to this podcast are the same denomination. And when you're on a mission, you don't date, you don't have like romantic relationships, and you're not with your family. And so I remember being in a training with my mission leaders and them just saying how important touch was, that as missionaries, we naturally, like, that wasn't our first priority. And when you kind of hop from congregation to congregation, like you don't get to know each other. Thankfully, I was serving Spanish speaking people who are very caring and, kiss each other on the cheek, and they're a lot. And so I got a little bit more of that, but I won't forget that. Like, I was 22 years old when I was taught that principle of needing to be held and what that actually does with our full body. And so when you said that, that memory popped up as like, this is a truth. Like, God wants to hold us. And naturally, as people, we need to be held. It's such an important connection and survival. Like, in order to survive, we need to have that nurture. So I want to honor that and like give a second witness to that, that it is something that's very, very real. I started hugging my companion, is what we called each other, but I would hug her a lot more often than I did after that point. It felt a little bit unnatural at first, but over time it became something very connective and important. So I just love that so much.
Thank you for sharing that. Every time we get off one of our calls in our breathwork program, our instructor will say, go give someone a 17-second hug. Like that was always our homework at the end of each call. Yeah. So go give someone a 17-second hug.
Yeah, there's something to that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're in such a hurry all the time now too. So I love the time element with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you helped me in our breathwork sessions, I think the first one we did was like a one-on-one, I think. Mm-hmm. And I just remember sobbing. Yeah. I was just sobbing uncontrollably. And you said, you know, like you had such an experience on you that was similar to your journey before psilocybin, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think I could have anticipated what happened in my body when you facilitated that. And I remember I was sitting up and I started getting lightheaded. You're like, lay down. And so I laid down, and Stacey's so awesome. You did such a great job of like telling me all the things ahead of time so I could recognize them when they came and had permission to vocalize mm-hmm. anything I was experiencing. But I was shocked at how God came through for me. Mm. Oh my goodness. I think I remember telling you it felt like breathwork church.
Yeah.
Like that's what it felt like to me.
You did say that. And I went back and told my whole group that, like, we had class the next day. And I'm like, you guys, I had the biggest aha. I just led breathwork church yesterday.
Yes.
My client was sharing that. Yeah.
That's totally. What it felt like. Yes. And I won't ever forget it. Like it was something unreal. And then I've done, you know, some breathwork sessions with you after that. And once again, it's been church. It's been so spiritual. It's been, this is what I need you to know. I feel when I do breath work with you, I feel like a bigger human. Mm. Like either I'm like zooming into the size of one of my cells and looking up at myself that way and seeing like this whole planet of a person that I am, or I just almost feel this expansion of what I'm capable of and what God is able to put into me. And that's not something that society or the world teaches us. They want us to be small, you know, and especially marginalized people. When you were saying that you weren't having a voice and you were a vocalist and the trauma was holding your voice back.
Yes.
Like everything that you're doing now is through that channel. And I'm sure that you're going to go full circle there, but I can't not point that out. I also just love that God's the breath of life. And
so good.
There's meaning personally for me. Like when I let more breath in, I let more of God in. So you started facilitating and found God, found yourself, came home.
And I just want to note too, on a science level a little bit, that breath work, of course, spiritually, emotionally, energetically, is so healing. On a my nervous system. So we know our autonomic nervous system needs a little bit of stress, but it also needs that recovery time. And so when we're in this survival state or we're always in the sympathetic state, we're not giving that recovery time for our nervous system to heal. And so, you know, walking around anxious all the time, afraid all the time, just like, ooh, clenched is like the only way I can describe it. Breath work came in and moved through all of that. It put a little bit of stress and then a whole lot of love and recovery, a little bit of stress and a whole lot of love and recovery. So my window of tolerance has greatly expanded.
In what way? Window of tolerance for what kind of things?
Sure. Life, doing life.
General.
Just showing up, being able to have these conversations, being able to speak. I just went on my first like solo retreat trip. It was an advanced training in San Diego. And I was nervous about like from the very beginning, from signing up and saying yes to getting on an airplane by myself. Like I just don't travel alone often or, you know, and it just, I was afraid, but I was like, but I can do this. Like I am able to sit with a little bit of that discomfort, right? Like, yeah, it's scary. And then come to find out all the women there were like, I don't know how to order an Uber. You know how to do a Lyft? You know how to order an Uber?
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And so I would never have done that a year ago. Never. Oh, I would have never have sat in a room with 30 other women and cried and breathed and, you know, just been able to sit and witness somebody in their essence. Like we were challenged to meet our edges all day for 5 days straight.
Oh my goodness.
You know, So just things like that, down to the simplest things of going to the grocery store used to stress me out. Like I would go park and I'd have to take a second and be like, I don't even want to get out and go to the grocery store. Like too many people, a lot of anxiety, a lot of just like hypersensitive to noise, to all the things. All of that is just, it's just settled. Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal.
So your healing and your growth has been a process. I mean, you had some healing to do. We all do, but it's pretty clear you've shared with us. And I'm wondering, would your like 20-year self, I mean, you're talking to some 20-year-olds, right, on this podcast, probably. And would she have been ready for breath work had it been presented? Or do you feel like that sometimes we need these incremental kind of cracking ourselves open? What do you have to say about that? How would somebody know if they're ready for breath work, per se? What would they need to know?
I don't feel like that's an easy question to answer because there's been moments in the last couple weeks that I look back and I'm like, oh, okay, this is why it took so long. Because there was moments of like, why didn't I know this when I was in my 20s?
Yeah, I
And
can
I had,
imagine.
yeah. And I have next month, I get to go lead a breathwork workshop for the University of Maryland. So,
Cool.
right. So now we're talking about like, that's
Exciting.
just perfect timing.
Young
Like,
adults,
I
yeah.
get to be there with these young adults, and whether they are asking for it or not, I'm bringing it. Right. So,
Yeah.
I think if it comes into your path, it comes into your life, it's meant to be. You know, I do believe that breathwork found me. And so, if you're 20 years old and you're hearing this now and you've never heard it before, or maybe it's coming up on your feed somehow or something, then yeah, that's a message to say, let me explore this a little bit more.
Good. Yeah, it's like those little seeds, those little drops that we hear over time that start to add up. Like, all right, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're like whacking in the forehead, right? But other times it's like, okay, I've heard about this enough, and now all of a sudden it feels right to pursue. That's awesome. I was remembering, like, it's such an interesting thing because it is hard work, at least for me. I'm not very trained like you are, but like getting into the breathing was more effortful than I thought it was going to be. You know, really deep breathing and the way that you were challenging me to breathe. And then once I was willing to get past the discomfort and the work, like what you were saying, it really opened me up. And I was like, how could I never not do this again? I remember feeling that way. And sometimes we're just unwilling to put that little work in for the bigger rewards on the other side. Especially with ADHD, sometimes we don't reflect. We're not as reflective. We don't remember as well. Except for my body right now is remembering very clearly, fluidly.
Oh, I
So,
love that. Yeah. Yeah.
okay.
Breath work is work for sure. Like that first 5 to 7 minutes, and especially for ADHDers, because we're just like, we're thinking all the things. This is dumb. This is weird. I got a to-do list to do, all the things. Like, do I really have to breathe? Like, well, all the things are coming up. But what I love about the actual chemical exchange of like that increased oxygen, that decreased CO2, it's actually helping us to calm the brain. So where like traditional meditation, we don't get that chemical exchange when we're just sitting there meditating, and it's a lot harder. So if you give it a good 5 minutes or so, then the brain just kind of says, okay, I'm gonna give up, and we're just gonna let the body do what the body's gonna do. So that is also one reason I love breath work as an ADHDer. But
Yeah,
we do.
you have to be present. Like I guess what I'm saying is there's no way around it. Like if you're going to do the thing, you're going to have to commit. You have to commit. If you want the end result or the middle result, even, you have to commit to it. Cool. Well, any last things that you'd like to bring up as we're kind of closing here?
Gosh, I don't know what else to say. I feel like I've said a lot in the last hour, but give yourself maybe even 5 minutes a day. Like, I think the biggest misconception in healing work and is that like we've got to set aside a lot of time. We've got to have this perfect, you know, like layout in our room. We've got to have the incense going and the candles lit and all the things. But you can literally just stop in your kitchen for a minute and place your hands on your heart. And that's always a symbol of self-love and self-trust. And just say, hey, I'm willing to be here with you for a minute, right? You're holding yourself for a minute. And then just breathe. Deep inhale through the nose, let it all go through the mouth. 3 minutes. and just see how things shift.
Yeah.
And then that's going to be a start of a beautiful adventure for you and breath work. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Stacey. Where can people find you?
Sure. You can find me on Instagram at Breath Reborn. My website is breathreborn.com, and that's about it.
That's all we need, man.
Okay.
then you get into the work.
Yes, that's it. DM
well, thank
me.
Thank you so yeah. much. Oh yeah, DM her.
You can DM me for sure. Thank you, Camden.
No, it's been so good to have you on. Thank you for your expertise and also just for sharing your life with us today. It's a very inspiring and encouraging story of healing. You know, we're never fully healed, but I do love the underlying message of God being with you the whole way through a variety of mediums, through a variety of people. And it's a good reminder to all of us that we might forget some things sometimes, but we're never forgotten.
Oh.
Thank you so much for being here, Stacey. You're awesome.
Thank you, Camden.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Busy Brained Saint podcast. If you're eager to explore the world of ADHD coaching, make sure to connect with me on Instagram at Camden_ADHD or visit my website, CamdenADHDCoaching.com. For more LDS-specific ADHD content, don't forget to follow this podcast and join us on Instagram at The Busy Brained Saint. Listen, I'm here to support you on your journey. I cannot wait to have you as a part of our community. Stay engaged, stay inspired, and remember, you're not alone here. Thanks for being a part of the Busy Brained Saint family.